Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I'd like to call this meeting to order. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ms. Riley, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, please call the roll.
Yes, sir. Mr. Brian Blackwelder. Commissioner Richard Blattner.
Here.
Mr. Robert Breslaw.
Here.
Commissioner Felicia Brunson.
Here.
Commissioner Angelo Castillo.
Here.
Mayor Michelle Gomez. School Board Member Patricia Good. Ms. Mary Graham.
Here.
Mr. Richard Grosso. Mayor Rex Harden.
Here.
Commissioner Bernie Parnas.
Here.
Ms. Jackie Raley.
Here.
Commissioner Nan Rich.
Here.
Mr. David Rosenoff.
Here.
Mayor Michael Ryan.
Present.
Commissioner Beverly Williams.
Here.
Mayor Daniel Sturmer. Mr. Thomas DiGiorgio.
Here. Okay, so good morning, everybody. First item is a consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Before we begin, if I could, today is in Miami is being buried former Mayor Mauricio Ferrer, and he is a historic figure, not only in the history of our community, but in the Hispanic community in particular. He was the first mayor of Puerto Rican descent ever elected in the United States, and many credit him as the moving force in Miami as we currently know it. And his passing is felt throughout the community. And if I could, I would recommend a moment of silence in honor of our departed colleague, Mayor Mauricio Ferrer.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Madam Executive Director.
Thank you. There's a couple of additions to this excuse absence request. Mr. Grosso sent an email late yesterday afternoon that he has an anticipated work issue. And then we found out this morning Mayor Sturmer is not going to be able to be in attendance because his father is gravely ill. No. So he won't be here this morning. Mayor Gomez is in the garage and on her way in now. No. I just want to just note that.
Excellent.
So I would ask to add Mr. Grosso, Mayor Sturmer, along with Ms. Good to the excused absence.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Castillo and a second from Mayor Harden. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Thank you.
And that was for the whole consent agenda?
That's for the whole consent agenda, yes. Council report.
None today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Madam Executive Director.
Good morning. Thank you. There's a couple, I added a couple of items since you received your advance agenda. The first two items, meeting minutes, this was a discussion that was requested by member Mary Graham, verbatim versus summary format. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Ms. Graham, and I'll be able to add anything if she has any questions.
Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Chair. It was on last month's agenda, and Mayor Sturmer wasn't here, and I just wanted to wait till he was here so that everyone could participate. I was just curious how it had come about, how it had been requested, if it was a time constraint to prepare the minutes, if they were lengthy versus a budget thing. I just wasn't sure. So I prefer the verbatim minutes simply because if there is discussion, it's usually about something important. Many times we don't have discussion and comment at all. We take our vote and that's it. I understand that Commissioner Rich had suggested it or recommended it. So I'm just open to hear what everyone else says. I'm partial to the verbatim only because it's a documentation of the discussion. That's all. Thank you.
Ms. Blakeboy.
Just to add to Ms. Graham's overview, what I would like to share with the board is that the for many years we had the summary format through the end of 2010. In 2011, the county switched to a vendor style for the minutes, and that was the point in time that verbatim minutes became the method. For many years, we put a note on the agenda that said, these are, you know, in contrast to the summary minutes that used to be prepared, because we didn't know if we would ever get back to that point or whatever the case may be. So, you know, when it was brought up, the summary minutes are a format that is generally acceptable for the format. So I didn't think much of it when we had the discussion. And so now we're having it here, and I give it back to you as the chair.
Excellent. Commissioner Rich.
Yeah, I did recommend that we move to summary minutes because I sit on, obviously, the commission board. I sit on many other advisory councils. And this is the outlier, so to speak, this board. And to be honest, I would sit and read those and people's uhs and ands and everything else. And I found it very frustrating, actually. And it was the last meeting. If it had been verbatim, it would have been 70 pages. And I just felt that the summary, there is a recording, so there always is documentation for the discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, there's always a recording that's posted online. We started doing that about 6 or 8 years ago due to budget cuts at that time. So the audio recording is always posted online. And right now, we still do receive the verbatim minutes, but our staff is able to create a summary minute product from that. So we do still receive the verbatim minutes. We don't have the capability of staff to create the summary minutes while we're sitting here. So we do rely on the verbatim minutes to create that. So we're not creating them from memory. We're creating them from the actual product.
So I just wanted to just make sure that people understand that there is a record. There is a verbatim record of the meeting. We're just not going to get 70 pages. We're going to get a summary like everybody else does in just about, I think, every other council, advisory council or board that the county has.
Excellent. Further discussion? And what's the will? What does anyone feel strongly like Ms. Graham that we should go back to verbatim minutes, or we tend to agree with Commissioner Rich?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think summary are sufficient. I mean, the verbatim record is there. If ever we want to bring something up at the meeting from the verbatim record, of course, that can be done. I agree with Commissioner Rich. Reading through pages and pages of minutes is just, that would be just, I think, not productive use of time.
So is that a motion?
I'd move that we go with summary.
Second.
We have a motion from Mayor Hardin, second from Commissioner Rich. Further discussion on the item? Commissioner Parnas.
There we go. Okay. I don't think a summary, if you're trying to look something up, is adequate. I prefer true minutes for several reasons. One, reading through it, you get to know what point is being made by another member of this body and why they feel that way. Not just, Mr. Castillo said no. That would be a summary. It doesn't give me his reasons. Or he says yes. I'll do it both ways. I think it's important that we understand why each of us are voting a certain way and what comments they make. I have been persuaded by comments made by my fellow members here, and I have hoped to persuade others to my point of view. And in reviewing it, why a person feels that way cannot be obtained with the summary. It's easier. You can have one-page minutes of a whole three-hour meeting, but that doesn't give us the right information. I oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Any further discussion? The motion is on table to go with summary minutes as was provided last month. We have a it's been made by Mayor Hardin, seconded by Commissioner Rich. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
No.
There's two no. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Madam Executive Director.
Thank you. The second item is the combined November-December meeting date. You may recall that I sent out maybe several emails asking for your date preference. So how it shakes down is December 5th, we have 13 available, but two members need to leave by 11:15. And December 12th has 13 members available and one member needs to leave by 11:15. So that was definitely the heavier quorum day. I only had one member that never responded to any of the items or any of my requests. So I would say that December 12th is the preferred email. You may recall that at the August meeting, I indicated that I thought that the first public hearing for the Woodlands Country Club in Tamarack, we were targeting that date for the public hearing. But based on the low number of members available, I had some preliminary discussions with Mayor Sturmer and with Mayor Gomez, you know, representing the city of Tamarack. And we've now targeted January for the Woodlands. And so December would be kind of a regular meeting agenda. Hopefully nothing too controversial. We'd be able to get everyone out of here by noon, you know, with that commitment. And then the January meeting would likely probably carry it for about 4 hours is what we're estimating. At that point, we would also order lunch in that day. So that's your regular meeting date in January. I would just ask for a vote on the preferred December date, which I would recommend the 12th because it has a stronger quorum for a longer amount of time. And then if you're okay with proceeding with the single item only January public hearing for the Woodlands Tamarack item.
We have a motion by Commissioner Rich and a second by Commissioner Gomez. I'm sorry. We have a motion by Mayor Gomez and a second by Commissioner Castillo to accept this. Yes.
What is the January date?
12th.
January 23rd.
I'll be back.
We're not moving that date. It's our standard date.
All right.
Whatever that date is. What's that date?
January 23rd.
January 23rd.
2020.
Thank you. 20. Okay. So we're going to go with December 12th is going to be the meeting date. That's the motion. And then we're had the longer meeting on January 23rd.
And we have confirmed that with the applicant that they will be available for that January 23rd. We didn't just do that in a vacuum. I should have mentioned that also.
Excellent. Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. The two items that I added to the report subsequent to your advance agenda. Last month, we had discussed the October 15th affordable housing workshop, where, as Commissioner Rich had mentioned at that meeting, the intent is to discuss the land use plan, any policies in there, any other programs and policies related to affordable housing. Subsequent to that announcement, so that October 15th workshop is now at 2 p.m., which I've sent out emails. Hopefully you saw that. We had initially announced it as 12:30, but that will be at 2 p.m., and it will be webcast if you plan on watching it. Subsequent to that meeting announcement, there was an additional housing supply and affordable housing workshop that came up, and that's going to be on October 8th, also in room 4:30. I'm pretty sure that one's going to be webcast. I'm keeping my eyes and ears open on the announcement for that. I've been in contact with the county's AV team about it. The content of that workshop is really, it's related to a couple things. The next item is the status of the text amendment PCT 19-2. What had happened was after your August meeting, we had submitted it for setting of a public hearing, which is a requirement of the county commission before a public hearing can take place. Administration asked us to have it after the October 15th hearing. We didn't know about the October 8th, workshop at that time. So we are now pushing those dates to November 5th setting for a November 19th public hearing for the consideration of that. So I just wanted to wrap both of those items together so that you would have information related to that. And I will keep you all apprised and posted to any agenda material that comes out for the workshops besides what I've already sent and that sort of thing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Correspondence?
There's no correspondence. And I As far as the public hearing items, page 1, page 2, and page 3, there are no public speakers aside from questions only signed in to speak on those items. So staff is recommending approval of the three items. Item PH3 also recognizes that's the amendment to the Pompano Beach, the Isle Casino, recognizing the applicant's commitment to set aside 15% of the total units, at least 615, as affordable housing, and that is noted in the text amendment. So that will be in perpetuity.
Excellent. Does anyone have an objection to looking at all items at the same time? Commissioner Parnas.
Yes, I'd like one to be at least be discussed.
Which one?
PH1 about the seawalls.
Okay. Anything else want to be pulled? I'll entertain a motion on PH2 and PH3.
Motion.
We have a motion from Mayor Ryan and a second from Mayor Hardin to move and go with the recommendations of staff on PH2 and PH3. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's passed unanimously. PH1, Madam Executive Director.
Just a quick follow-up. You may recall that the first public hearing for this item was at your meeting last month, and you also confirmed at that meeting that you didn't recommend a second public hearing. The reason that it ended up back here is because subsequent to your hearing, the county staff had some proposed language, which is noted eliminating the word coastal and ensuring that it was clarified that it wasn't going to be required seaward of the coastal construction control line. And that's denoted in the text amendment now. So really what had happened was I had talked to Mr. Marotis and Ms. Sequoia from the county attorney's office to give them a better timeline as far as the adoption date anticipated in December. Could we have the hearing this month instead of bringing it back after the transmittal to the state? Naturally, it would come back to you after the transmittal to the state if the state had any objection or comment. So it would still, it wouldn't preclude that, but it was just a way to keep it on a, the timing track on that path. Dr. Hurado is here if there are specific questions about the proposed language, and I would turn it back to you.
Thank you, Ms. Blakeboy. Mr. Parnas.
Yeah, I'd like to delay this and for the following reasons. This really has to do with seawalls and sea rise. And in speaking to a number of real estate people in the county, I find that they were totally unaware that there's going to be requirements down the road for the height of seawalls. And that many of the owners who have property that require seawalls haven't been notified properly. I think if I were buying a house that had a seawall, I would like to know in advance what additional expense, maybe in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm going to be responsible for. I'd like to see the language to include the better public awareness of what this is all about. I would hate to have bought a house only to find out 2 months later that my seawall has to be raised 3 feet or 5 feet and my present wall is inadequate. So it's going to cost me $130,000 to comply with the new laws. I really feel that we should delay this and the public should be better notified. And I'd like to see that a requirement that all real estate brokers who do business in Broward County with homes that have seawalls or are responsible for them, let the owner know about this new Broward County ordinance that the cities are going to be required to enforce.
Mr. Chair, I would ask the executive director to go ahead and outline how long this has been in the works and the process going forward so that this is not a switch that's being flipped here today that's going to alter anything that's a part of the process.
Absolutely. Attachment, as I mentioned, this was your moved and recommended for approval at your August meeting. Attachment 2 in your backup materials outlines all of the stakeholder meetings that were held, you know, based on the studies. They started in November of 2016 and take us through, and this is public outreach, so not absolute meetings, Twitter and Facebook posts, so there is information that's shared also on social media about this. So that takes us through about the middle of this year.
So there's been at least 3 years of public outreach discussing the progress that we're expecting in this county in this regard, correct?
I would agree.
All right. And going forward, what's the process?
The process is, so today, as I mentioned, that this public hearing that is occurring, it's not really the second public hearing, but it's a public hearing so that it wouldn't have to come back if the state didn't object to it. So at this point, it goes to whatever your recommendation is today, it goes to the County Commission for consideration of transmittal to the State of Florida Review Agencies. State of Florida Review Agencies are a 30-day window for comment on anything of statewide significance. At that point, if there was any negative comment or comment that needs to be addressed, it would return to the Planning Council for another public hearing. Assuming that there's not that comment, it could go back to the County Commission for adoption, and then that effective date is 30 days after the adoption hearing. So we're really looking at about another 90 days until we get to the adoption hearing, and then 30 days effective from that.
Mr. Chair, I have another question.
Sure.
And in terms of the outreach and the response, and maybe it's a question to you, has there been any coordinated or even organized opposition from realtors to what we're trying to do to battle climate change and sea level rise?
Dr. Rado, if you'd like to answer that question, you may.
And I would just note, attachment 4 has the comment and response document that was prepared in response to the comments that have been received through this point.
Thank you. Jennifer Hirado, the Director of Environmental Planning and Community Resilience Division for the county, and also the county's Chief Resilience Officer. I would say that there was one particular forum that was very represented by the real estate community called CREW. We had both a Boca Raton and a Broward contingency, or Palm Beach Broward contingency that were represented there. And there was no organized opposition to the representation of the item. In fact, during this entire process, I would say that we have not received opposition, but rather questions of clarification. Instead, I think that the community has been very accepting of the recognition that we will need to build to higher heights. The ordinance, again, itself does not mandate collective improvement, but the improvement is required at the time at which flooding occurs, in which case a property owner would have to address that anyway. This is about establishing a consistency in that top elevation to ensure that once that improvement is made, you have a guarantee of it providing flood protection, because everyone else will be required to come up to the same level. So it's not mandating an improvement or a cost that wouldn't otherwise be required, same as having to keep a solid roof over the over your home. Ultimately, those types of investments are required, but when they're required, what's the standard? So that's what we're seeking to achieve with the ordinance. We have also recognized, however, in the process, that the real estate community is interested in being provided tools that aid them in helping to communicate, you know, what this means as a coastal property owner, and we'll be providing a brochure, an outreach brochure, that can be used to help realtors in that conversation.
Sure, if I can. Dr. Dorado, I have a question. In terms of attachment 4, that represents the collective questions that you've received from all of the stakeholders, and you provided the response and any of the suggestions you had in providing better information to the community, correct?
That is true, yes.
And has anything been left out of that? I mean, have you been hiding criticisms?
Of
have
course
you been?
Not.
Okay.
No. It's a full detail of the input that we've received.
I'm trying to make a
questions.
Point. I'm trying to make a point that this is not something that's being done in the dark, that instead you have taken great pains over the last 3 years to educate the community and ask all stakeholders to ask their questions now so they understand it as we move forward. This is an urgent issue. Even as the storm passed us and virtually had no wind impact on us, the coastal properties experienced flooding from a surge that was 100 miles off. So this is an urgent issue, and I thank you for continuing, you and your team, continuing to push this forward. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mayor Ryan. Commissioner Parnas.
Yeah, I'm reading a report here. Fort Lauderdale had 52 participants, and another one had 25. How many waterfront properties are there in Broward County that would be affected by this increase in seawall? That I count so far 75 people that attended each of 50 in one meeting, 25 in another. How many properties are there?
Well, I'm sure that there are thousands. We have also, in the course of our outreach, we not only held meetings for all of the cities. We also invited that we were available to any city that was interested in hosting a separate public outreach meeting. So we made ourselves available. We responded to every request that was received, and we will continue to make ourselves available. I will share that the additional information that we're providing that will aid cities in this process includes a detail of the elevations for individual properties, so they will be able to use more of that information as they provide a targeted outreach as we move forward. But again, some of these improvements, most of the improvements, will be happening over the course of more than a decade with time, and those that are flooding currently are clearly aware that they are flooding currently and that those investments are on the immediate horizon.
Yes, thank you. And I think, Ms. Riley, before I speak, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's a comment more than it is a question. We have guidelines, and we have ordinances, and we have codes that every homeowner has to abide by. Something so significant and so important as our seawall and our environment, we actually dictate how high a fence can be. Absolutely, why not a seawall?
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Thank you, Mr. Blattner.
Thank you, Chair DiGiorgio. I agree with Commissioner Parnas, and since my discussion contributed to the 71 pages of minutes, I'll leave this very brief. I hope Mayor Ryan's comments get into the minutes summarized as well. It's a question of who will pay for it. I don't think anyone is against the ordinance. It's going to be the question of who is the owner of that property at the time that it has to be fixed. That's simple. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Graham. Commissioner Blattner.
Yes, personal observation. We had a general obligation bond of $165 million. In the general obligation bond was a line item for seawalls. The number of people that voted for that doesn't represent 100% of the residents of the city of Hollywood. They had the opportunity to do that. They passed the general obligation bond. And those that read it and studied it knew that seawalls were in there. And those who didn't read it but voted have a it's their responsibility to be informed. I find that the council, Barbara Blake Boyd's personnel, does a very vigorous outreach program on most of the issues that come up. But you can't force people to go there. You can't force them to read the paper, can't force them to read the news on the internet, and you can't drag them out of their houses. People have a responsibility to stay informed, and those that don't stay informed are subject to the same actions as those that were. I just don't think that any limit could be set on the number of people that have to approve an action based on those that attend a meeting. It's not practical any more than 71 pages of notes is practical.
Thank you. Further discussion, Mayor Hardin, do you have a comment? Commissioner Parnas, final thought.
Okay, I'm not against this. What I'm suggesting is that we make another attempt at informing the public. My Marine Advisory Board has no knowledge of this. And yet we are a coastal city. My commission had no knowledge of this. You say every city was informed, we were not. And I'm saying I think this council owes the public at least one more attempt at notifying, look out, the steamroller's coming, and let's be aware of it. I'm for the project. I just want it delayed for one more attempt at notifying the people that it's going to affect.
Just point of information. Go ahead, Mr. Castillo.
Thank you. I have a point of information. So separate apart from Ms. Chair, separate apart from the vote that the motion that is before us, is there any bar to any member or any city asking for a special meeting, outreach, or if there's an identified group that wants to have a discussion? That wants to have a presentation. Is there any bar separate apart from this for that to occur? If such a request were to come forward, would the staff reject it? I'm just curious as to
Ms. Blake Boyd
as to how to accommodate Commissioner Parnas.
A couple of things. I would defer to Dr. Hurado. I don't believe that they would reject any public outreach meeting.
Is that right?
We would be pleased to support any conversation, any additional requests for community engagement, any municipal or board or special interest groups that would like any presentation, discussion of the matter. We're pleased to continue to support that well beyond this process as well as during the process.
And in the past, I would like to comment that Ms. Blakeboy and Dr. Otto have made themselves available every time that I know as anyone's asked to come and give a presentation on any item. You have made yourselves available to see this. I don't see that there ever being a bar on that. So, Ms. Blakeboy, first.
Aside from that commitment, and obviously, like you just said, I would defer to Dr. Hurado for a presentation on this, but yes. Certainly coordinate with them. The comments that we received in writing, many of those were received after the notification of all the municipalities. And then when we received the additional language, staff did send it back out for additional comment, and that was sent to municipal mayors, planners, and managers.
Thank you. Mayor Ryan.
I would like, if possible, for staff to go ahead and provide to Commissioner Parnas the direct contact that was made with his city to provide that information. I'm not sure why it didn't get further to the Marine Advisory Board. I don't think that's not your obligation to make sure every interested board gets it. You sent it to all the municipalities, and so it may be incorrect. Somebody may have learned about it, but they just didn't take it seriously. So if you could provide that to Commissioner Parnas, I think that would help. I do not support any further delay, and I don't think it's within our ambit to direct to further notice to subgroups that may be interested beyond what you've already done. I think between the notice for this hearing, and we see no one here in opposition to even ask for any time, and all of your outreach contained in that attachment 4, I thank you for your accepting of all the comments. Nothing further, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion for approval of PH 1.
We have a motion from Commissioner Rich and a second from Mayor Gomez. Any further discussion on this item? I know you had your hand up, Mr.
Yes, I just want to mention this. Many times during this meeting, I will pull the paperwork from a package to make sure that the appropriate people in my city know for sure that something has come up. The city of Deerfield Beach has had a representative here forever. So if your predecessor didn't inform your city, shame on that person. But we have a responsibility to let our city staff know and not assume that they know that there's an action being taken by a public organization that could affect them. That's our job. And so I don't think it is necessary to have further, other than Commissioner Parnas wants to have a special meeting organized by Jennifer Hurado. I have no objection. None of us do.
Excellent. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
One.
Let the record show that Commissioner Parnas opposes PH 1. That's it for all of our public hearing items. Any Planning Council member comments?
I would just, Mr. Chair, I've just asked the members and those to keep Mayor Sturmer's family in their thoughts and prayers.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. Further comments? Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.